This is Aileen Leventon. I'm here with Jenny Ann Horst-Martz.
Hello, Aileen.
Jenny Ann, you were recently named Timekeeping and Finance Project Manager at Hogan Lovells. That's one of the top global law firms. Jenny Ann, you and I co-authored several books on timekeeping and using codes, but now it sounds like it's turned into a full-time job. I understand you have a great background in project management and process improvement, but I've never heard of a title like yours. Can you tell us a little bit about your new role and how it came about?
Well, my firm uses timekeeping for billing our clients, and it's also a measure of utilization. Firms that lack accurate records don't have a full picture of what's really going on. Hogan Lovells has made it a goal to capture our lawyers' time more promptly and efficiently. I'm coordinating this initiative.
Wow. But what does that really involve?
Well, in the old days, people with a legal problem used to come to a lawyer, present the issue, and then go away while the lawyer worked the magic. Then the lawyer would present the bill, which was simply the number of hours worked times the hourly rate. The client would swallow hard and then pay it. But clients have changed, and the business of law has had to change too. Clients themselves are deeply invested in project management, monitoring time, scope, and cost. They want their attorneys to be upfront about what they plan to do, how long it'll take, and what it'll cost. Clients demand that firms provide transparency before, during, and after the work. Otherwise, they resist paying the bills. Part of that transparency requires making sure that the time is tracked very carefully and with a lot of detail.
Well, having been a timekeeper for most of my professional career as a lawyer and a consultant, what's new about how lawyers track their time? Or don't they?
Well, almost all firms have software that lawyers use to key in their time, usually in tenths of an hour. The software can also have codes for each type of work. So, for example, if the lawyer attends a deposition, there might be a specific code assigned to that time spent on that. If the lawyer is drafting a contract, there would be a different code. That allows the firm and the client to tally up the time spent on different tasks by the members of the legal team.
It sounds straightforward to want to capture the time associated with the components of work. Law firm financial systems and activity-based costing models are built on tracking units of work. But your new role is needed because accuracy and consistency are not always the default. What are some examples of how things go sideways?
The lawyer may forget to key in their time for days at a time, and then it's difficult to reconstruct what was done on a given day. That means some of the time may get lost. Some of the code sets also have a lot of choices, and there can be plausible reasons to pick one that they shouldn't. For example, if there's a code available that's really general, like deal management, a lawyer might use that as a catch-all. Or a lawyer might fail to put in a detailed description in what we call the narrative section. Or they may put something in the narrative that appears to be the exact same task as was performed the previous day.
Well, why would that be a problem? Sometimes you're doing the same thing for more than one day.
Yeah, but when you receive an invoice with duplicate entries, it makes you wonder why, right? For example, if you get a medical invoice for blood work that's done on Wednesday, and then another invoice for one blood work done on Friday, you'd like to know what each of those tests was for, or you might think it's a mistake that the same test was charged twice.
That's a great analogy. So, you know, I know what I do. I call up the doctor's office and find out what I need to, but how do you fix these issues?
The first thing is to make sure that all of the time is tracked promptly. Studies have shown that when people wait to enter their time, they can forget as much as 30% of it after simply a week. So last fall, my firm instituted a timekeeping policy that requires daily time entry.
That's really interesting. I saw an article in the Harvard Business Review a couple of years ago that talked about timekeeping loss. And I know there are a fair number of studies that have been done specifically relating to legal. So when you made this change in mandating daily time entry, how did that go?
Actually, it went really well. A couple of months after our chairman issued the policy, we started a new program that launches a pop-up reminder on your computer screen if you haven't entered all the time required. Between the policy and the pop-up reminder, we've seen dramatic improvements in prompt time entry. In fact, we've already met the promptness goal set by management for next year.
Wow. So the firm thought it was going to be incremental in change, but it sounds like it's exceeded those expectations. So were there any other unexpected results?
Yes. We knew we'd likely capture more time, but what we didn't fully expect was that the narratives improved. Even people who'd been pretty good about entering their time before are now able to add better descriptions because they do it immediately after performing the task. We've also seen less late recorded time being put on invoices, which means that the client is less likely to reject the time as late. If you send the client an invoice for work done in February, and then in the April invoice you have someone's February time that was entered late, the client may say, "Wait a minute, we paid for February. Take that charge off."
Even though the work was done, it's just that it wasn't timely billed.
Yep.
Well, it sounds like that's a great result with the improved narratives. So how are you going to address the challenge of OCGs, outside counsel guidelines?
OCGs are the pages of rules that clients issue about what they will or will not accept and pay for in a bill. So for example, a client's guidelines may state that lawyers can't do work that could be done by paralegals. And they sometimes put limits of how long can be spent on a particular task like research, or ask that only one lawyer go, for example, to a hearing. We end up spending a lot of time editing the invoices before they're sent to the client to make sure that we followed their rules, or that we appear to have followed their rules when we have, but we haven't articulated clearly. That costs us money in two ways. First, a lawyer spending time reviewing a bill is not doing legal work that could be paid. And second, our staff spends hours going back to the timekeepers to get things fixed. So we need to improve this process. We're looking at how to communicate and enforce the client rules, ideally as the lawyers do the work and enter their time rather than later.
So it all comes back to the quality of the information and the quality of the communication. Well, can't artificial intelligence fix that?
I wish. What people think of as artificial intelligence is not really artificial intelligence. It's sets of keywords or phrases created by people and then run against a set of data. We can use software to extract the key terms from the client guidelines, and we can measure that against existing time entries, but it's really just a rough suggestion. They don't really figure out from diverse sets of words what the concept is. We can also use software to look at what a lawyer's been working on a brief or calling a specific client, but no computer program can yet determine what part of the time spent in a meeting was discussing the settlement offer or some other issue. So a lot of work's involved in setting up the rules and pointing the tools at the correct data and then still editing the stuff.
Wow. It sounds as if your role, timekeeping and finance project manager at Hogan Lovells, touches a lot of functions in the firm. It must involve IT and the back office billing work, right?
Yes, it's very cross-functional, which is part of what I like about it. I work with the lawyers and their assistants with matter intake and setup, with IT and billing, and pretty closely with management because it's the firm's International Management Committee that is driving the policy to make our time entry more efficient. I'll be working with training too, because we realized that people were getting technical training on how to use the time entry software, but new associates don't come in understanding what clients want to see on their invoices. So we need to improve substantive time entry training for incoming lawyers.
I'm impressed. Hogan Lovells is really taking a leadership role in tackling timekeeping by assigning someone like you. With all your skills in project management and process improvement and knowledge of client guidelines, and I might say, you have a law degree and a PMP too. I know other firms have assigned staff to make sure that client guidelines are centralized, and some firms have an IT group that manages the timekeeping software, but your role really addresses lawyer behavior.
Yes, I'm really proud of the firm for being the first to take this on. It's given me a chance to take on a challenge with a measurable outcome and also to apply some of the concept we advocated in our book.
It sounds exciting. Well, Jenny Ann, I'm looking forward to hearing more about the firm's progress. For those who want to learn more about practical ideas for time entry and using codes, Jenny Ann Horst Martz and Aileen Leventon wrote a book even before Jenny Ann was in this position. The most recent one is called Legal Value Track, Transforming Task Codes into Predictable Pricing and Law Firm Profits. It's available on Amazon. Thanks for listening to us, and thank you very much, Jenny Ann, for sharing your ideas.
Thanks, Aileen.